Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. So these are the 9 basic overarching motives that Bentham thinks human beings have. You notice that already we're beyond the level of the merely animal. Animals do desire self-preservation. They have physical desire. They want to eat things that they like to eat. So, for instance, dogs not only like to eat dog food, they also like to eat cat food because cat food is sweeter than dog food in general. It's not good for them to eat it, but they also like to eat antifreeze if they get it because it's got a salty, sweet taste. It's not good for them, but they had a desire to. Animals want to have sex. Animals want to, do other things that feel good. A lot of animals want to be liked by other animals or by human beings. A desire for amity is. Animals don't really worry about wealth. I suppose squirrels, gathering up their nuts are concerned about sustaining themselves for the winter, but that's more instinctual than anything. They don't generally, they do desire power, don't they? Because there's like a, pecking order sometimes. Horses are particularly prone to this sort of thing. Lions, number one cause of lion deaths in the wild are the lions because they get into these contests with each other. But they don't worry much about the reputation. They don't worry about amity quite in the same way that human beings do. Benevolence and malevolence don't really apply to them quite the same way as they would to humans either. So let's think about these. Bentham says these are the basic motivations. Each one corresponds to particular pains that we want to avoid or particular pleasures that we want to have and enjoy. Let's run through these one more time. What is benevolence? It's when I take pleasure in somebody else's being pleased. So I do good things for them to make them feel better, take away a pain, give them a pleasure, and then I feel good as a result. It can also, be sympathizing with somebody, feeling pain because they feel pain. I don't care about their welfare. Malevolence is sort of the exact diametric opposite. I inflict pain on somebody else, or I take away their pleasure, that makes me feel pleasure. That's malevolence. Physical desire, what does that comprise? Food, sex, relaxation, intoxication, massages if you're into that sort of thing. Really anything, clothes that fit you nice, I suppose. Nice smells. If you like shaving, I suppose that would be a physical desire. How many of you guys actually enjoy shaving? Any of you? Not a single one? Surprised you don't all have beards, then. That's why I have a beard, because I don't like shaving. It's a lot simpler not to shave. Self-preservation. We have desires for that, right? If I attack you, your body should actually put you into a defensive posture. Why? Because you don't want to die. You actually want to stay alive, and that's a good thing. It includes fear of pain of the senses, love of ease, desire to continue and protect one's own life. Desire for reputation, I think that's pretty straightforward enough. You care about how other people view you. If they have pleasure in thinking about you, that makes you feel good. If they feel a sense of pain, discomfort in thinking about you, that makes you feel bad. Does that make sense? What else? Desire for amity. You like to be liked by other people. Everybody does. A desire to be liked by others, to have others well-disposed towards one, ready to help one out. That's a basic motive for human beings. Desire for wealth. We just talked about that. That's something that's pretty easy to relate to. Why do you want wealth? Because you can buy pleasant things with it. And there is a pleasure just in having money. Desire for power. He says this is also called by the term ambition, and it includes a desire for positions, offices, and things that provide power. So this is probably a motive for many of you, isn't it? You want to succeed, you want to, when you get your first job, you want to stay in the entry-level position? Why not? Is it just you want to make more money? Or do you actually want to have, some authority, some chance to decide things, to get to tell other people what to do? That's a natural human instinct. What about religion? Bentham says, as a distinct motive, we don't really need to worry about it because it really just folds into the deeds for the most part. You just kind of put God into the picture. So we're not going to talk about that so much. Those are the motives. Now, how should we evaluate these motives in general? This is to ask the question, what is their general tendency? Are there motives that right off the bat we can say are good and we can say are bad? Benevolence, most people think that's good, don't they? Malevolence, wanting other people to be hurt so that you enjoy that, that's seen as bad, right? What about desire for wealth? Good, bad, just in between? What do you guys think? Let's say we take a vote. Everybody has to vote. So by show of hands, who thinks that desire for wealth is in general a bad thing? Not a single taker? No? Nobody thinks that it's corrupting, root of all evil, anything like that? You do?
No, so I'm just going to say something.
Go ahead.
I think for all of those on the right side of the list, like, they could be bad, but they can also be good, and like,
yes,
how severe it is.
Okay, so how severe? So if they really motivate a person.
Yeah, like if they desire the, you know, to be wealthy to like the extent of like 100%, like they're gonna be insane.
Ah.
Whereas like if you're powerful, you're technically like, you know,
it could be
people
good. It could
don't
be, yeah.
Yeah, wanna.
You know, that makes sense. Bentham doesn't talk about it in that way, but you're kind of driving at something that he would say. Like if you're completely dominated by desire for wealth, you're not gonna be motivated at all by benevolence. Because you've got this one motive that runs everything. Or by desire for friendship. There are some people that are so desperate to be liked that they do a lot of dumb things. You had your hand up. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say I just agree with that. As long as everything's in moderation and you stick to your own individual's core values, it should work out well. But if you get off track, obviously it's bad and you're excessive.
Yeah, now notice you guys are bringing in other criteria to make sense out of this that are going a little bit beyond utilitarianism, which is okay. We don't all have to be utilitarians. I'm not one myself. So I'm pretty sympathetic to those ideas. Bentham will say things like desire for reputation, amity, wealth, they could be good or bad depending on how they lead you. So I think you're right. If those were the one single thing that you're focused on, it's probably going to be a train wreck. Power would be bad, reputation. You know, maybe even self-preservation, if that's all you ever thought about. In one way, that'd be kind of a stunted life. You'd miss out on some pleasures. But you might also, like, interpret every single thing in the environment as a threat. That would be bad, too, wouldn't it? These people that are constantly on edge. And, you know, and if there's certain physical desires, if that's all that's going on in your life, is, you know, I just want to eat all the time, just want to have sex all the time, just want to shoot up all the time. That's, you know, sort of like the definition of addiction. And that wouldn't be good either. Now, Bentham says, well, because these things depend on circumstances, we can't categorize them automatically, except perhaps, to some degree, benevolence and malevolence, as automatically good and bad. But even malevolence could be a good thing. Like, let's say, you were really angry with somebody who's a very bad person and is doing very bad things, and you kill them because you're so angry with them. And you thereby save a whole bunch of other people from harm or even death. Your malevolence is a good thing then, isn't it? Overall, from a utilitarian perspective. Remember, we take everybody's pleasures and pains into account. I mean, I personally, and I think a lot of you would say, no, it's still a bad thing. Killing somebody, being motivated by anger to kill them. But from the utilitarian perspective, it's a good thing, isn't it? Like let's say you could go back in time and get in a bar fight with Hitler. That was the German beer hall push, so presumably he was I don't know if he was a drinker. Probably not. He was kind of a teetotaler in other respects. But let's say, you know, you go to the bar, get liquored up, start trading insults back and forth. Dirty Nazi, dirty whatever, you know. They had a lot of insults for everybody. Start fighting. Break a bottle, slash him across the throat. You just probably saved 12 million people, right? You're a hero because of your malevolence. Are there ways in which benevolence could go wrong? Do good to everybody? Maybe you're doing good to a potential serial killer who's going to go on and, you know, you saved their life and now they're going to do terrible things to other people. Yeah.
What if your benevolence is in the sense that, like, you're feeling pleasure for someone that's also feeling pleasure for someone that's wrong?
Oh. That's an interesting idea. So, like, for instance, you go around handing out free heroin to junkies. Because you know they're going to use it. You know they're going to love it, right?
Right.
let's say you're in a free needle program, which is a good thing, right? Because we don't want all the junkies to get AIDS and hepatitis and God knows what else is going around. And then you actually take it upon yourself and say, I could increase their pleasure. This would be a very good thing if I not only gave them the needles, but I gave them the smack. It's pretty cheap for me to get my hands on it. Let's say you have a connection, you know, you get into the police evidence room. You've got tons of this stuff. So you're going around, here you go, buddy, here you go, here you go. And it's not good for them to be shooting up overall. It is very pleasurable, but there's a lot of downsides to it overall. So your benevolence could in fact be a bad thing from a utilitarian perspective. This is a rather extreme example,
admittedly,
but it works. So how else could we classify these motives? Bentham says there's two ways. One is in terms of thinking whether they are social or asocial or antisocial. So he talks about social motives. What are those? Those are ones that are going to sort of put people on the same page. They're going to unite people's interests, their inclinations. What would be included there? Benevolence, definitely, right? But what else? He talks about semi-social motives, desire for reputation. If you care about what other people think of you, aren't you more inclined to act in such a way as to promote their pleasure and not promote their pain? So you're probably going to be on more or less the same page. What else? Desire for amity works the same sort of way. Semi-social motive. Could it go wrong? Could my desire to be friends with certain people create pain for other people? You know, we go and we start a criminal enterprise, start vandalizing, things like that, you know, kind of high school kind of stuff. Sure, reputation, could love for reputation lead you to do things that are bad for the community as a whole? Sure. But in general, these actually lead to good outcomes, don't they? So good social outcomes. What about things like physical desire, self-preservation, desire for wealth, desire for power, so long as they're kept within certain boundaries, right? Not entirely dominating a person. Well, those are neither necessarily social nor necessarily antisocial. They can put us at odds. If I want to be rich and you want to be rich and she's the only person in town that we can get rich from and we have to compete, then your loss is my gain and my gain is your loss. Right? It's a zero-sum game. So we're not necessarily on the same page, but you know, what if we all work together or get wealthy together? We could, in fact, share motives. The only really antisocial motive is going to be malevolence. Bentham thinks that we can assess motives by saying that the reason why malevolence is generally bad is it's generally going to put us at odds with each other. It's generally going to lead to worse outcomes or consequences in terms of utility. So whatever is going to lead to greater utility, if we were all motivated by benevolence, that was our main idea. I want to make other people happy. Other people all want to make each other happy. Wouldn't it be a nice place overall? Aren't there a lot of things we probably wouldn't do? Just think about driving for a minute. In driving, we're not usually motivated by desire for wealth. Physical desire, I don't know. Speeding is kind of a thrill, but I don't think it fits in there. Self-preservation, people do dumb things because they think they're about to die. Desire for power. I don't know. I like passing people. Do you like passing people? Do you get a kick out of that? Do you like getting stuck behind somebody who's driving slow, like under the speed limit? Doesn't that get on your nerves? And then some people like make a game out of it, like they try to tailgate the other person and the person slows down even more, or they box each other in or cut each other off. I think that's desire for power. Desire for friendship, wave at the other drivers, act nice, let people in. Could these be good or bad? Do you ever get to a four-way stop where everybody wants to wave the other person? Is that overall good or bad? It's good that they don't hit each other, right? Is there any aggravation involved in that? Drives me nuts because I'm kind of a rule, you know, I know the rules of the road. You should be going. You know, it makes me angry. Produces pain for me. Maybe in some of these circumstances, different motives have different effects. That's probably enough about these.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.